Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a great, great Tuesday out there. We got fun things on the way for you. We're going to get into a couple of interesting topics. We have the five most dangerous expiring condiments in your fridge.
Dun, dun, dun.
We're going to talk a little bit about the government stopping making pennies. We've got that coming up for you. We got some good stories of the day, touch on our schedule, plenty more coming up for you. We kick off the 9 o'clock with entertainment news. And Jelly Roll has now lost 120 pounds.
Wow.
And,
good for him.
And just gave some exercise advice that anyone could benefit from hearing, actually. He shared a post on his Instagram at the top of a mountain after a long hike. And he said, "I'm tired, I'm frustrated, I'm sore, but holy, it's that beautiful." And then he flips the camera around to show the incredible view he's seeing. Jelly went on to say, quote, "I realized today that some days when I get out here in this process of trying to make this massive life change, that some days I come out here and I feel great. But today kind of reminds me that sometimes you have those days, man, when you just don't feel it at all. But those days are the most gratifying. If you're making it this big of a life change, it's going to hurt. Yeah. So it sucks. It can hurt. You can hate it, but you got to keep going."
Yep.
He says it's especially the hardest at the beginning of your journey when you don't feel like you're making any progress. Mm-hmm. Jelly then went on to promote the 5K he's training for in Tampa on May 4th.
Wow.
His story is he's very talented, a good writer, good singer, all of those things. But his story just, I think, overwhelmingly is so much bigger than any amount of talent that man could have.
Well, it's relatable.
Yeah.
You know, he's struggling through things that we all struggle with,
mm-hmm.
in some ways. You know, obviously, other ways, not so much. But, I don't know, weight loss is a big one for a lot of us.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, every great thing that ever happened began with change.
Mm-hmm.
And I firmly believe that nothing worth having in life happens easy. I really don't. I haven't experienced that. I'm sure that there are some examples you can pull out if you think about it long enough. But when it comes to things that you really earn in this world, they feel better because you earn them.
You're right. You have to work for them.
Yeah.
And putting in that effort, you know, the being able to have the reward at the end of the thing that you worked for, whether it's weight loss, whether it's changing your diet, whether it's, you know, learning a new skill or starting a new hobby, putting in more effort at work, like the, you know, more than, what was it, 30-some% of people?
Yeah, yeah. My dad is a big fan of his, and anytime he gets a chance to catch an interview of his, he will. I don't know if he even knows any of his music, but I know he likes him as a person. One of the things that we've done is kind of, this is a long time ago, but we went on YouTube and looked up a bunch of his interviews. And it's very, when he talks about addiction and his struggles with that, it's very similar to what he's saying there, that it's not going to be easy in the beginning. If you know that going into it, that can be somewhat of a breather. But no matter what we're talking about, you got to keep going. You just do. And you find that motivation, you find those the help and the support you can where you can.
And you know, set realistic goals for yourself. That's something we talk about a lot around the new year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like don't put yourself at a disadvantage by setting an unattainable goal or something that's going to take you a lot longer than, you know, 6 months to accomplish.
Great article. And that 5K he's doing is pretty interesting, too.
Yeah, that's cool.
Encourage you to check that out, everybody. Green Day is getting into the movie business. They're producing a coming-of-age comedy inspired by their own early days of touring in a van. It's called New Year's Rev, and it stars Mason Thames from The Black Phone and Jenna Fincher and Angela Kinsey from The Office, which is pretty cool. Haven't seen those two working in a while, so that's awesome. The movie will follow.
They probably didn't have to after the success of The Office.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially Jenna Fisher. She was really focusing on being a mother and everything. And then with the rise of podcasting, her and Angela Kinsey got together and have a very successful podcast.
There you go.
Nowadays, if you've got like a couple of sponsors for a podcast, you're good. you're getting paid to do that. So, I mean, you can make a living doing that now. This movie will follow three best friends who pile into a van and head to L.A. because they mistakenly think that they're opening for Green Day at a New Year's Eve concert. Billy Joe Armstrong said, quote, Van Day's rules rule. You will drive all night and, with no sleep and then play a show for 10 kids in a basement of a friend's house 50 miles east of anywhere you've ever heard of. And it's just going to be about that a little bit. Because you're doing it with your bandmates who become your family, and it's unlike anything you've ever known. It's electric. Let the music and mischief ensue. I'm that watching that. Fun. Yeah, I'm going to watch that. I will definitely check that out. I'm not a big Green Day guy or anything. I don't mind them, but I'm not a huge fan. But that sounds interesting.
Yeah, the premise of the movie sounds fun.
I like it. And finally, we wrap up with America's favorite Super Bowl commercials. How did this pan out? USA Today did their annual ad meter poll to rank all 57 of this year's Super Bowl commercials.
57 commercials?
Yeah, there were 57 of them. We have got the top 20. We are not going to go through all of those.
We just
give you the highlights here a little bit. First delivery from Budweiser was the number one. The Little Farmer Lays. The Ultra Hustle, starring Catherine O'Hara and William Dafoe, Michelob Ultra commercial. Okay, that one was really good. I forgot about that one.
Okay.
That was pretty funny. And I don't know if I ever thought about it before, but I need a movie now with William Dafoe and Catherine O'Hara starring together.
Well, Catherine O'Hara in anything is fantastic.
Yeah. And I really like seeing William Dafoe getting the kind of Christopher Walken treatment now, where he's kind of being appreciated a little bit more later in life and getting a lot of opportunities that he never had before. And it's been pretty cool. So I like that one. That was probably maybe even my favorite one. David and Dave, starring David Beckham and Matt Damon, the Stella Artois commercial. Okay. Somebody from NFL, Flag 50 from NFL. So the NFL doing getting some good work in there. Big Men on Cul-de-Sac, starring Post Malone and Shane Giles and Peyton Manning. That one felt so like a 5-year old could have written it. It just felt like, so like I knew what was coming every five everything that they did. I knew that they were about to do it. Yeah, it just felt very predictable and kind of like, I don't know. I collect your money, guys. Get your money. You know, Bud Light's paying you. Go ahead and take it. Century of Cravings with Matthew McConaughey, Kevin Bacon, Martha Stewart, Charlie, the Uber Eats ad. I actually thought those were pretty good. They had a long-running campaign with that. I don't know if they're going to keep doing it or not. About basically, the NFL was invented just to sell food. Matthew McConaughey is talking to Christian McCaffrey about it, and Christian doesn't believe him, and then he looks over and Jerry Rice is sitting there, and Jerry, what are you eating? Rice. Like, it just, you know, it's well played, I thought it was well done. I'm a little surprised by this. At number nine, When Sally Met Hellman's, with Meg Ryan, Billy Crystal, that kind of throwback. To that, that did very well, apparently. Owner's Manual from Harrison Ford, the Jeep commercial Seth was talking about yesterday.
One I haven't seen it, but I saw somebody commenting on how great that was.
The No Reason to Hate ad with Snoop Dogg and Tom Brady. That one did fairly well as well. Slow Monday from Coors Light would do well, but an underrated one I didn't think got enough attention, the Goldilocks and the Three Trucks. Glenn Powell starred in that one. It's about Ram trucks, and the ad was going on, and my dad and there was somebody else in the commercial that my dad was trying to place, and I couldn't get it. I'm like, Dad, no, that's Glenn Powell again. he didn't
same
he,
person.
Yeah, same guy. And talk about having a moment. Glenn Powell is 2024 was his year. And I got a feeling
that's the star from Twisters,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I got a feeling that in 2025, you're only going to hear more and see more of him.
Yeah.
And whatever comes your way from WeatherTech kind of wrapped everything up. Tubi's ads got some love and some attention, but the Laura Graham one, not so much the ones with the flesh-colored head guy or the cowboy hat guy and stuff. Those did not do well. There was a lot of body dysmorphia ads. There's a lot, like Eugene Levy's eyebrows going flying and mustaches flying, and you had a guy who had a cowboy hat for a head. there was a lot of that this year. I don't know why.
Nightmares?
I don't know why. But I will say, I understand why advertisers do this stuff. because they are looking at, well, what is most popular, what is big? Well, one of the things that has been pretty big, and really since the pandemic, that has only gotten bigger and bigger, is the rise of these horror movies. And how much people are going to see and how much people are liking horror movies. And and so maybe, not maybe, but with a little of that, they have this kind of, well, we can't do horror movies in commercials. They're trying to find that kind of that gray area.
They're trying to find the line.
And I don't think they found it. I don't know if it exists, to be honest. I don't. And I feel like this is also what happens some, and this isn't all marketing people or any, or all companies, but too many of them, at least, they live in bubbles. And some of that isn't even their own fault. It's just something that kind of happens with social media. And, you know, when we don't have a lot of interacting with people and stuff, something, you know, that we talked about earlier. Yeah. So you're going to see this more and more. And it, just as a quick side note to the horror genre and movies, try harder. Try harder. I don't know. I mean, they're so lazy nowadays. I don't feel like there's any suspense anymore or anything. Anybody working really hard at it?
Well, I have zero input to put into that because I do not like horror. Yeah. I don't like it. I don't want to watch it. I don't want really have anything to do with it.
I know one thing, but you do. Oh, go ahead. Oh,
well, I was just going to say, can I change the topic for just a moment? Because, well, I did not go back and watch any of the commercials. I did go back and watch the halftime show. And I wanted to give some comments on it and my thoughts on it, because we talked about, you know, kind of the outpouring of love and dislike for this. I actually was split on my Facebook friends, you know, when I scrolled through, I saw about half and half. Mm-hmm. People really for it, people really not liking it. And I watched it myself kind of through the lens of art.
Yeah.
And I think that is how it should be looked at. I, you know, honestly, I've never gone back and watched a halftime show for anybody else.
Mm.
And Kendrick Lamar is not, I couldn't name one, a single one of his songs for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the style of music that I liked, but I thought that from an art perspective, that it was fantastic.
Mm.
I think it was a commentary on, you know, things that are going on or things that have happened. And I think it's one that's going to be talked about for a long time to come.
Yeah.
And looking back on it through the lens of time,
mm-hmm.
it is going to be something that people will talk about.
And that's that last part you said there is very interesting to me. I think that's, I hadn't thought about that, and I haven't heard anybody say anything about that. I appreciate your perspective, Melissa. I want to be able to get to our caller here. Let's go ahead and take a call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, how's it going,
hey,
man?
Hey, Kevin.
When it comes to the commercials, mm-hmm. obviously the people that put the commercials on are getting what they want with what we're doing right now.
Oh yeah,
it's the cooler talk. It's the cooler talk.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those commercials that we saw during the Super Bowl are you really going to see throughout the year? I mean, there's going to be a handful of them, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
especially the ones that. That, you know, I think you had the top 20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they spent a lot of money on these, so they're going to get their money's worth. We are for at least the next month. We'll probably see them for a little bit, but I know what you mean. Yeah, I think maybe even more to your point, man. Whether they play them or not, how much they stay in our brains, how much we remember them.
Right. Mm. You know, we talked about this on Friday or Thursday last week, and I know that. You know, can you remember the Super Bowl commercials that you've seen in the past?
Yeah.
Some of these this year, I don't know. I mean, obviously the little farmer girl I thought was pretty cool with the potatoes for Lay's potatoes.
I did like that. I did like it.
Was pretty cool. You know, so that was going to stick in my brain a little bit. I mean, the dumbest commercial was the cowboy flesh hat.
Oh my god!
That's I'm not going to be able to burn that one out of my brain.
No, that was weird. It was too weird.
Rent-free.
I'm all for weird, but that was way too. That was a step above for me. That was too far. Yeah.
And then obviously the Harrison Ford one, especially when he kind of threw a dig at.
Oh my god, it was good.
At Ford at the end of.
Oh, that was
the
funny.
Commercial. So.
Yeah, I thought that one stood out pretty good, too, yeah.
Did any of these commercials make you want to go out and buy the products?
No.
I have the same answer. No, none of these, not a single one of these made me want to buy their products. If I wasn't already buying their products, I'm not going to start now because of them. I've never used Uber Eats once, and I love their commercials. I thought they were hilarious. Didn't make me even think for a second of using them. All it does, and I'm an outlier here, I'll admit, but seeing those, just as an example, seeing those commercials, all I could think was, I want a movie of this now. I want to see this in a movie. I wasn't even thinking about anything with Uber Eats or anything. With half of these, sometimes I'll admit I'm not teach their own. I'm not a Budweiser guy. When I see the Bud Light ads, it just reminds me of why I don't like. Okay, I want one of those. It makes me actually want a different brand of beer. Like, it reminds me of the ones that I do like, and like, maybe I haven't had a Miller Lite in a while, whatever it might be. I don't know that, and I don't know necessarily how you can fix that so much. Like, if you're an advertiser, if you're a marketer or something, and you're listening to this conversation right now, and you got halfway to the goal line. You got people to talk about your product, to your point, Kev. But the you got to bring them home. You got to get them to buy the product. Right. And that part is completely wild. When you talk to marketing specialists and people, as far as like getting them home and getting it over the goal line, they just don't know how necessarily to do that. There's no exact science to it.
Well, and the thing is, though, too, is that compared to years in the years past, and I know that, they showed a graphic of how much of a commercial was back at Super Bowl I, to now, it was really not, it was at like $2,000 or whatever it was, now it's $8 million. But the one thing I noticed a little bit more this year is the amount of celebrities that were in the commercial. So obviously, if you're going to spend $8 million on a commercial, you're going to bring somebody in to help, make that money back. I couldn't believe the amount of celebrities that were part of the Super Bowl ad this year.
Well, I think one of the big things of that is, on a side story, something I've talked a lot about, with the rise of reality TV, there are less and less opportunities and jobs for actors. And there is no retirement plan for actors. There is no 401k. You work as much as you possibly can. So if it's a it's a whole different day, where when we were kids, we would never see an A-list actor doing commercials. Now you're going to see George Clooney doing commercials going forward. You're going to see these big names doing it, in part just to get some work. Some people are retiring on that kind of money.
I'm glad that you brought that up, Kevin, because that was what my thought was. Are these commercials so expensive because they've got these huge celebrities in them?
It's part of
maybe
it.
Maybe not.
No, it's part of it, I think. It definitely is going to raise the bar. But, the things that I think stands out are the ones that did well and the ones that didn't and everything. As far as getting people to buy the product, but as far as if the commercial did well, they're telling a story, most of them. They're trying to tell you something. They're trying to explain something, and not just the product. But I think the little farmer girl ad with Lay's was perfect for that, where they're giving you a bit of a story, and I think they're even giving you a little empathy to our farmers and our ag industry in some ways, while also, trying to sell their product. That seems to be one of the ways forward of trying to do this, of trying to, whatever the story is, the Catherine O'Hara and William Defoe ad with the Michelob Ultra. They're older and they're going to go play pickleball, and the young kid people think that they can beat them, and of course they slaughter them. The old people slaughter them and everything. And so they're telling a story of that there. Each one of these have that. It's not the same thing, but it's similar to when you ask people, well, what are you looking for nowadays when you go for a vacation or anything else? And it's not a destination. It's a moment. It's experiences. That's what people are looking for when they're doing anything, whether it's an event or just getting out of the house. They want a moment. They want an experience. I think the same thing is with commercials. They want a story.
Well, right. And then if you're going to have a good story behind it, obviously you're going to have the people who are going to remember it. Now, like I said, with the one with Harrison Ford, am I going to go out and buy a Jeep, now, or if someone... Or if someone has a Ford, are they going to throw it away because there is a Ford? But it's going to tell. It's telling a story, and actually, the way they presented that story with that owner's manual, that was mean, that was a great story.
Yeah, I thought that was a good one. That was really well done.
Now you've convinced me, Kevin. I have to go back and watch the Harrison Ford commercial.
That's pretty good. It was pretty good. If anything, for that last line.
Great. Well, that and I love Harrison Ford. He was my first celebrity crush.
So. That's a good one. That's a good one. Good talking to you, man. You have a great weekend. Great week, and be safe out there.
All right, you guys have a great day.
Yeah, stay warm.
Yes. We will take a quick time out. We'll come back, and we're going to be talking about our pennies. We're talking pennies when we come back.
Pennies.
And coming back on the morning show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us. We got good things coming up for you. And just a little bit after our news break, we're going to get into these five most dangerous expired condiments in your fridge.
We need to know, James. What's lurking?
Find out at 11.
No. Find out at 9:36.
Yeah, around that time. Around that time. But it is. This is an interesting one, and it's a big story, and it is going to be. There are a lot of stories that are going to be coming up, not just, you know, in the next couple of weeks, but over the next couple of years, that I'm going to be honest with the audience, we're probably not going to touch on certain ones. There are certain stories that are whether you what you believe is your beliefs, but there are certain things that are done in our media nowadays that basically distract us from take our eye off the ball. Mm-hmm. And focus on things that we are not really issues in everyday life. When Representative Krug was in with us last week, we talked about this a little bit with the talk of immigrants, illegal immigrants, in that. And you want to get rid of illegal immigrants? What are we going to do about pay? Because if there's a bunch of jobs opening up, I know talking to Matt Lippert and other farmers, they're wondering who's going to be doing these jobs and who's going to pay them, who's going to pay better and all these things. There's so many other factors going on before this and things mm-hmm. that we need to address in a time-sensitive matter like childcare or homelessness or so many other topics. Mm-hmm. One of the topics that got talked quite a bit about, but I've seen fade away quite a bit, is inflation. That was the biggest thing in the world leading up to the election. And as soon as the election's over, now nobody's talking about the price of eggs anymore or anything.
And they're not going down.
I have not seen anything drop. I have not seen any prices drop or anything like that yet. And some people say, the penny can be part of the issue when it comes to inflation and what we're spending on our money, literally spending on making money.
We've been talking about getting rid of the penny for a long time, though.
A very long time.
This is not a new topic.
No, and that's why this one is not one of those topics to me that is a distraction topic. This is one that needs to be discussed. The current president says he has directed the Treasury Department to stop minting new pennies because they cost more than a penny to produce. Quote, for far too long, the United States has minted pennies, which literally cost us more than 2 cents. This is a wasteful time. They think it's a waste. And technically, you can see somewhat of a, I guess in a simple mind kind of way, you can see an example here. But the actual stats are, according to the U.S. Mint, each penny costs 3.7 cents to make. But like a lot of things, the situation is more nuanced than that.
Right.
This cannot be... more things in life than not cannot be solved with a bumper sticker.
No.
Now, there are two problems with moving away from pennies. Two major problems that are not being talked about nearly enough. Experts say this would cause us to need more nickels, which we're also losing money on. So according to the Mint, each nickel costs 13.8 cents to make.
Whoa.
So we're actually, by getting rid of the penny and having to make more nickels, we will actually
be
spending
cost
more money.
Us more.
Yes. And analysts say this will cause prices to rise for consumers. If the penny is phased out, prices would just be rounded up or down to a 5 cent amount. And guess
and
what?
Who's going to round it down?
Exactly.
Nobody.
Nobody that wants to stay in business.
Right.
Because
their costs are going to increase too.
Right. Canada stopped minting its 1 cent coin in 2012, and in 2018, an economic analyst found that the Canadians paid about $3.27 million more at grocery stores each year due to prices being rounded up.
What?
Yeah.
Why are we even considering this?
That said, there are also problems with the alternatives, pushing towards a cashless society and continuing with status quo. One reason that the government has to make so many pennies every year is a large percentage of them don't remain in circulation. People don't value them, so they get stashed in junk drawers at home, or they fall into the ground or between our couch cushions.
If you drop a penny, you're not as likely to bother picking it up as you would a silver coin.
And Melissa, thank you so much for being one of the best teammates anybody could have, because you just teed me up perfectly like you always do. Pick up a penny.
Pick it up all day long. You'll have good luck.
We can actually fix this problem quite simply. Pick a penny up. Pick it up.
Start using it.
Start putting them in circulation. Because the answer is not as simple as some people would like it to be. If we get rid of the penny, it's actually going to be costing us a lot more. It is going to be that much more expensive for us. That isn't opinion. That's math. Right. That's math, everybody. Can we at least agree that math is not fake news? Can at least on that? I know that words don't mean what they used to, and nowadays, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, you get to throw around the word fake news and not have any accountability. Can we at least agree that math is real? For the love of all that is. The math is telling us this. The math is telling you the penny is more valuable in circulation. And so if we have it in circulation, this problem ceases to be as big of a problem. If you take it out of circulation, you're looking at what Canada is, 3.27 million more that you're going to be spending at the grocery store and at other places.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not an opinion. This is, again, math.
Well, and if you think about it, it really, from the broadest perspective, if you take away the smallest denomination of money that we have, well, then you don't have the ability to spend that smallest denomination anymore, automatically prices have to go up. Yeah. Like you said, businesses aren't going to round down. They're going to round up.
Let's take a call before we go to our news break. Good morning. You're on the show.
What if for 1 year they stopped printing coins altogether? It would increase the value of the coins already in circulation.
That's an interesting take.
Yeah, I don't know much about. I would have to look into that a little bit, but I don't. There's almost no bad ideas right now. honestly, certainly never in human history in politics has it been easier to just pitch stuff. Like, you can literally throw anything out there right now. So there are literally no bad ideas. And this is that thought is better than getting rid of it completely. Like,
they still hold their current value, but it would increase their value, or at least cut down on the cost it's costing us. We would just be using more coins to begin with, keeping them in circulation.
Genuinely, man, that is one of the better ideas I've heard about this. Because I haven't done a ton of homework on that, and I don't know. And there's a lot of research that need to be done. But as we're just spitballing here, I mean, that's put it on the board. It's an idea. It's put it out there. Let's see.
Have a good one, guys.
You too, man. you too. We will take a quick timeout. We'll come back after our news, sports, and partner break. We'll be talking about those condiments. Oh, those condiments. Which ones are in
danger
that?
Danger in your fridge.
Danger. We will be back with more show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. As kids growing up, the 5 o'clock news was something that was almost it seemed to catch all the time. And one of the things that it used to boggle my mind, and I'd say borderline frustrate me as a young kid, would be there's something in your kitchen that could kill you. Find out at 11. Well, it's 5 o'clock. We gotta wait 5 hours to find out what are we doing?
And I'll be sleeping by then because I'm a kid.
Right. Like,
now I have to go to bed and have nightmares.
Tell me now. Like, that seems like breaking news. That seems like time sensitive news. I feel like you should tell me. I kind of had a little fun with that, with this topic here, by bringing it up early in the show and waiting until the end of the show to do it. It's this little throwback.
But you always
do
teasers.
I kind of do. People Magazine just named it ketchup bot as one of the most dangerous expired condiments.
What?
Here
People Magazine.
People Magazine, yes. I'm sorry, People Magazine, yes.
No, you said that. I just think that that's funny, that that's the magazine that's exploring your condiments?
That is funny. It's also kind of funny that it just said, if I had just said people. Like, just, yeah, people are talking. And people...
They have decided.
James, what do you talk to people about? What kind of conversation?
How's your ketchup? When's the last time you looked at the expiration date?
Just sitting in the elevator, you know, making conversation. So here are the five condiments that might not last as long as you think in your refrigerator. Mayonnaise shows up at number one. It's got eggs, so it's once it's been opened, the USDA says it's only good for 2 months. Give it the sniff test. If it doesn't smell right, chuck it.
Well, that's the good thing about mayonnaise, is that you can sniff it and tell if it's off.
This would not work for me because even fresh mayonnaise smells weird to me. So
yeah, but you don't eat mayonnaise, so why would you have it in your fridge?
I'm an outlier. Nope, I don't count. salad dressing. Creamy kinds that have eggs or cheese are all supposed to be tossed after 2 months. Oily dressings last longer.
Wow. Now this one is, I know I'm absolutely guilty about this one. And I don't have a lot of the creamy kinds because I don't do as much dairy, you know, with cheese and whatnot. But I wonder, does that include like Miracle Whip? Because I don't have actual mayonnaise in my fridge. I use Miracle Whip, but that's a creamy dressing because it does have eggs in it.
You know, if you're questioning, if you're wondering it, I think it's worth checking out. I think it's worth, you know. I will say when I was young, I didn't mind ranch and stuff, but for decades I've pretty much just been Italian dressing, and that's more of an oily dressing, right? That's more of a
or your vinaigrettes.
Ketchup and barbecue sauce. They've got about 6 months to use them. Keep an eye on the color. If it changes, toss them. Get them out of there. You're out.
Wow.
You're out.
6 months. That doesn't seem like I know I've I have things in my fridge that have, well, not this fridge, but I know in the past it's happened. Where every once in a while you got to go through those condiments and, but see then, James, this isn't even the expiration dates.
This is
once they're opened. Because on the shelf, they're shelf stable for a heck of a lot longer than 2 months or 6 months.
Well, and it's one of those things too with the expiration dates where some of them mean one thing and some of them mean another. And
best used by or expired.
Yeah, and the idea that there really should be a clear cut method to that. I really feel like that. By the way, when I'm throwing condiments out, I like to be a baseball umpire. You're out of here. You're out. It's fun. It makes it a little more fun. Mustard. It lasts longer because there's more vinegar in it. Once you break the seal, you've got about a year to use it.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, because you don't use, I mean, I don't use as much mustard as some of these other condiments.
Same. Yeah. And finally, soy sauce. Some people assume it's one that lasts forever, but again, you've got about a year to use it.
Well, I go through soy sauce faster than that. So out of all of these condiments, at least right now, the way that I'm cooking, I probably use soy sauce the most.
Oh, okay. So you're going through that pretty quick. That ain't going to last a year.
Yeah, that's actually, yeah. I had to buy another. I have to keep one in the cupboard and one in the fridge so that if I run out, I have a backup.
And it should be noted, too, a lot of people mentioned in the comments of these things that they, if it smells fine, they're using it. I would not tell anybody what to do or anything. I do think that this is going to be more and more of a bigger topic going forward because you're going to have with, you know, what we were just talking about before with the rise of prices of things and everything and that not seeming like it's going to change anytime soon. People are trying to make their products last longer.
Right. Or the people are trying to keep use what they have as opposed to wasting it because that's good money down the drain or in the garbage.
Yeah, I don't know that we're giving people any insight here that they didn't already have, but I would think that for me at least when I see this, it confirms kind of the way that I was raised to do this. I think that part kind of helps a little bit, honestly. That is the right way to do it. The smell test does work for some things, but at the same time, I don't know that that's the I would just go by that.
Right. But I mean, with condiments, you probably can. You know, it's not like botulism.
Yeah.
You know, These things are going to go bad, and you're going to be able to tell. There'll be mold, in, you know, or they'll smell bad, or like with the ketchup or the barbecue sauce, the color is off.
Yeah, I hate to. I know none of us have money to throw around or anything, but when it comes to your health and your family's health and all that, I think it's worth throwing out the con. If you're not sure, don't take
the
chance.
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah. When you're boiling water for pasta or things like that, do you start with cold water or do you give it a head start and use hot water from the tap? Mm. A TikTok mom is going viral after she found out the hard way you should never start with hot water.
No, you should not.
It is more likely to leach lead and chemicals from your pipes and and your hotter your water heater. Mm-hmm. So it's safer to use cold water and wait a few extra minutes for it to boil.
Yep.
Apparently, and I haven't seen the video or anything, but apparently the thing that they're talking about, the viral video, is this woman finding out the hard way of this by in real time finding it out. And I don't know. I guess I've never really thought too much about this. I just, like, from a young age, making pasta from a young age and everything, I learned pretty quickly how that you just didn't. And I don't know. I don't know that I would ever even think to use hot water.
Well, I think that if you're just thinking about it from a very simplistic viewpoint of, well, it's already partially heated up.
Right.
That's going to help me.
It's going to make me faster. Yeah, I can see that.
If I want to drink a cup of warm water, well, why can't I just drink a cup of hot water out of the tap? But you got to think about all of the, you know, all the places that water has been. Mm-hmm. It's been through the pipes. Now it's been in your water heater and it's heating up. And that the repeated heating of water, which, you know, you don't empty your water heater out every time you use your hot water, so that water stays in there, mm-hmm. and it just keeps heating, and that reheating of the water causes those minerals to, you know, condense.
Science.
Or that's not the right. That's not. That was no scientific. That is just anecdotal.
Sort of science.
Sort of science. We know something about it. Don't drink hot water unless you've heated it from cold.
I would have liked to play the video for you guys, but she does say a swear word in it. So if you are looking up the video, keep that in mind.
Yes.
And yes, start with cold water. Start with cold water. We will take a quick timeout. We'll come back, wrap up the show. Morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour, get into our schedule now for a little bit. And of course, at the top of the hour, you got Matt and Air on air.
Mm-hmm.
Join Jane and Greg. They're back at it, having a lot of fun, getting you ready for the noon hour. Be listening. And of course, during their show, you'll be able to hear the Love on the Air text to win contest word.
That's right. Coming up again. Four chances to win, or to enter to win today.
Yep. Big thank you to everybody who's already played along. A special thank you to everybody who has downloaded the Civic Media app. We appreciate you doing that. Keep it up, everybody, and keep on listening. We're doing this through Thursday. We got another keyword coming up for you again at 10, and then at noon and 2 o'clock today. Just have that Civic Media app ready and to go, and we'll have another keyword for you in the morning tomorrow at 8.
Yeah.
We got a great lineup for you this afternoon as well. Be sure to join us for Midday Magazine. Got a great one lined up for you. In part one, we hang out with Promise in our Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce.
All right.
Looking forward to that. And in part two, it's Realty Radio with David Farnborough.
Yeah. Find out what's happening in the real estate business.
Fascinating. The real estate industry is just fascinating to me. I thought, and it's a the bellwether of our economy. More times, in fact, just always. Even you go back to the 1920s and the stock market crash and some of those things, and look at where the real estate industry, how that was doing, and that kept water. There's just interesting things about it when it comes to that tie into that in our economy. David and I will be talking a little bit about scams today and ones to look out for.
Okay. That's important information to have because there's a lot of them.
Great night of hockey. It's a puck night tonight, everybody, here at WIRI and WFHR. Here at WFHR at 7:05, we've got the Wisconsin Hockey Hour, hanging out with the Wisconsin Badgers head coach. And on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI, join us at 6:49 tonight. We are going to be broadcasting Lincoln High School Hockey as Wausau West. We're going to do this along with our cousins over at WXCO, Chad Holmes, the great Chad Holmes, is going to be doing the broadcast along with Bob Look.
Awesome.
We're very excited about this. Of course, longtime listeners in this area, Bob has broadcast in this area for a long time. This is his 50th year of broadcasting. Chad is going to bring Bob in for the first and third periods, but that second period, all Bob.
Nice.
It's going to be Bob running it. I cannot wait. I've got a class tonight, and my poor students are going to have to be also just. I'm going to be half in. I'm going to be honest with everybody. I haven't got to hear Bob calling a hockey game in forever. I used to run the board for him doing this.
Oh, wow.
I'm very excited about this. I'm a big, big, big shout out to Chad Holmes opening the door and letting this and helping this happen and everything. Bob means a lot to us in this area. Means a lot to me. So we're excited about this. The game will begin again at 6:49. It'll be simulcast with FM 98.9 WXCO and FM 105.5 WIRI.
Awesome.
Now, you can, of course, get it on your radio dial. Otherwise, on that Civic Media app, go right ahead.
That's right. And you're going to have that app downloaded anyway, so you can be entering our Text to Win contest.
Bob is in his 27th year as a PA announcer at UW-Madison for men's hockey there. So not only does that lead perfectly into WFHR having the Wisconsin Hockey Hour, but it just I bring it up just to kind of one more time give credit to where it belongs. And one of the you cannot tell the story of WFHR and not include Bob Look. That's good.
That's awesome.
I do want to remind everybody as well, some great concerts coming up in the area. Lincoln High School has their concert series still going on here in February. And on the 18th, they got a show at 6:30, Lincoln High School Orchestra.
Awesome. Get out there and support our kids.
Yeah, it'll be at the Performing Arts Center, free with a donation to benefit the Lincoln High School Music Program. And as you have heard us mention many times, Wisconsin finished dead last in funding the arts, so they need it.
They do.
And another group that needs your help as well is our friends at Empty Bowls. The 11th annual Southwood County Empty Bowls event is coming up this Saturday.
Yeah, it's this Saturday.
It'll be at the new Focus location at 2321 West Grand Avenue. And we had Mary Schultz in the other day talking about this. And if you're curious, you can check out the Midday Magazine interview at civicmedia.us. Otherwise, I just encourage you to show up. It's going to be a good time. A $10 donation will not only get you a bowl that's going to come home with you and you can take around, but you're going to have some great food from some of our best chefs in the area.
So many great restaurants don't need soup for this. Will be.
Yeah, the event runs 11 to 2 and will include basket raffles with products and services donated by businesses in our community. A big, big thank you to all the businesses and all the people that came together for this one. This is how we defeat these kind of things in our society. We work together. We come together. Yeah. We are stronger together than not. And Focus and this event is a perfect example of that. You can find out more by going to their Facebook page. We'll meet you there, everybody. It's going to be a great event. Looking forward to it.
And students from our local schools, I was trying to find the post. I can't find it. But I know that, we have, those bowls were made by local artists and our kids, which is just so cool.
Yeah, it's a great point, a great other part of this. Keep that in mind, everybody. And these bowls, the soup itself, obviously the meal itself, won't last very long. In fact, part of the point of the event is for you to leave a little hungry. That's to remind you of what that's like. But these bowls will last with you forever. So a year, 2 years from now, when you're having cereal in it, or you look at it in your kitchen or something like that, you'll be reminded of the good that you did with this. You're going to be reminded of this cause and hopefully the good that we can do when we come together about it. Journalistically, I should mention that in my family, one of my nicknames was Eeyore. In my family, I am Eeyore. My brother is Tigger. My sister is Piglet.
Does it have anything to do with your disposition?
Probably. A sad donkey named Eeyore is doing much better after a new home on Vancouver Island in Canada. He just moved in. He lived alone his whole life in someone's backyard and wasn't great with other animals. In a sanctuary called Home for Hooves, took him in when his owner passed away, and the woman who runs it wanted to give him something to do, so she tossed him a big yoga ball in a pen. He played with it constantly until it popped, but then people on social media started sending more of the yoga balls to him, and he's got about 40 of them now.
40. Whoa. That's a lot of balls.
He still plays with them, but doesn't need them as much anymore because he finally bonded with three other rescue donkeys she brought in. She says it's nice to see him finally having a family. She also renamed him Earl because Eeyore just seemed too depressing.
It didn't fit anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. That's a great story. That's a really good story. I like that. In case you missed it, a 311-year-old Stradivarius violin sold at auction on Friday for $11.3
million.
Experts say it's one of the finest instruments ever made. I would give anything to just be in the same room as it. It was donated to the New England Conservatory of Music in 2009, and the money from the auction will go to cover scholarships there.
Oh, that's so great.
How many future artists is that going to create?
Is it going to help? Yeah.
How many jobs, careers is that going to create? That's just a really cool story.
That is really cool.
And a guy in L.A. got to meet firefighters who saved his home in Paladeus last month. His name is Dr. Anthony Nesburn. They left a heartfelt note in his mailbox that said they weren't able to save many homes, but they were proud they could save his.
Oh, that's awesome.
Big thank you to not only those firefighters, but all of our local firefighters out there, wherever you are listening to us. We appreciate them.
Thank you for your service.
Appreciate you, Melissa. Great show.
Yeah, you too, James.
Have a great day, everybody out there. We will talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.